I am Plata on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The Damage is Done is a new production featuring the acclaimed and noted author and public intellectual Dr. Gabor Maté and the actor, writer, and therapist Rita Bozé. It will be at the Culch, the 20th to the 24th of October 2015, with nightly performances. The show combines theater, dance, dialogue, video, music, and more, and Ms. Bozé and Dr. Maté explore their own lives and cultural history. He was born in Budapest during the Second World War, while Rita's family was affected by the 1956 Hungarian Revolution. In this show, they look at the challenge of childhood trauma, as well as the experience of families immigrating to Canada. The music in the show includes Liszt and Strauss, the Velvet Underground, Neil Young, and the Canadian-Hungarian punk rocker B.B. Gabor. Rita Bozé joins me now. I'll get her to tell us about the show, working with Gabor Maté, and whatever insight and understanding she might have gained from writing and conceiving this project in collaboration with Ken Cameron. Ms. Bozé and Mr. Cameron founded and are artistic directors of Productive Obsession, whose work since 2012 has been presented in Calgary, Banff, Hungary, and Iceland. Each performance will feature a post-show question and answer period. The website for tickets and information is at tickets.theculch.com, and Rita's own website is at ritabozé.com. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in Calgary today, Rita Bozé. Ms. Bozé, good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Joe.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
So do you divide your time between Calgary and Vancouver?
You know, I left Vancouver 14 years ago. I lived there for 14 years from, 88 till the end of 2000, and then I moved to Calgary in 2001, I believe.
See, I just assumed that you were from here. I don't know why I got that.
Well, maybe because I was so entrenched. It had such a formative effect on me being in Vancouver.
And so you're in Calgary. We're talking October 1st, so you're in Calgary.
Yeah.
You're rehearsing the show now, is that right?
I've been rehearsing the show since mid-August, actually. We came back from Europe this summer. My husband, Ken Cameron, co-artistic director, and I came back from Europe this summer, and we knew that we wanted to make some changes to the show. You know, a fine show is like a fine wine. It mm-hmm. takes time. And with anything, I think if you're brave in theater, you will re-examine a show and with each production find out what still needs massaging, what still needs work. So when we came back from Europe, we went to, we had our world premiere last year in the Yukon Arts Center in mm-hmm. Whitehorse. And after doing the show, every time we've done the show in Banff and Whitehorse, we've gotten very, very positive feedback from the audience. And yet, you know, you go away, you do a show, and you feel that there's still something missing or something not quite right. So we took some hard questions to ourselves, and we took the show through a very intense three-day workshop with Peter Hinton, who's a very prominent director in Canada, and he works at the Shaw Festival. And we had him do a dramaturgical session with us this summer in Niagara on the Lake. And I was faced with a very big question about changing the show. And I realized I had to kind of leap into the unknown and say, okay, the show we had was really great, but I need to take it to the next level. And it meant quite a huge rewrite on the show, a massive rewrite. And we were literally working 10 hours a day for about 5 days to do this rewrite. And then we had to approach Gabor and say, hey, the show we had in Whitehorse is not going to be quite the same show. There's many the same underpinnings, the same themes, but we've got something much clearer now. So when that happened, my role became quite a lot bigger. So uh-huh. I've been rehearsing since mid-August.
And so
to get ready.
Yeah. And so where is Dr. Maté in all of this? Is he with you? Because we all know him for his work here in Vancouver mm-hmm. and the great number of speaking engagements that he has
yeah.
around the world. What's his time with you like?
Well, that's definitely presented a challenge, and Gabor was up front with us right from the beginning. He said, I'd love to do this project, but I don't have any time. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. I have to figure that out. I have to figure out how we're going to do that. And normally when you're in a theater rehearsal period, most theater rehearsal periods have a three-week rehearsal period. You've got a play that's completely complete from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the actors come in, they rehearse, and in 3 weeks you've got a show. This has been going on for 2 years. And, you know, Galber and Ken and myself had had many, many Skype meetings. We've had, we had a four-day workshop in Vancouver before we ever went to the Banff Center. Then we were there in the Banff Center before Galber could join us. So it's kind of like we have to try to create a script without him there in consultation with him on Skype, because he wasn't able to, you know, participate in a three-week rehearsal period or a creation period. So there's been a lot of emails, there's been phone calls, there have been Skype sessions, there have been back and forth, here, read this, comment on this. And, you know, it's definitely a very challenging way to work, there's no question about that. But, you know, sometimes those parameters, those restrictions are actually very helpful.
And so we all know him, as I said, as a public speaker, and, mm-hmm. and a very good one at that. So is there much of a transition that happens for him when it comes to performing, say?
Well, is there a transition? Well, we like to work with someone who is simply themselves on stage. So we're not asking Galber to be anyone other than Galber on stage. But what's different, you know, with stage is, you know, Galber, you need to walk from A to B, then you need to, you know, move a certain way, or you need to, you know, come in on cue. So for him, he's definitely, you know, acquiring a set of skills that he hasn't had before. You know, sometimes he'll say, hey, can we change the script here? And I say, Galber, if you change the script now, that means we have to change a lighting cue or a sound cue. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as that. And so for people that aren't in theater, it's hard for them to imagine that you can't just change your script because the stage manager is ready to press a button on a cue to on a line, so you've got to know the line. So it's different for him, and he started to realize, I think what was interesting for him when he came to Banff, he didn't understand the magnitude of it. He thought, oh, yes, Rita and Galber on stage. And then all of a sudden, he was in a room full of technicians and lighting people and video designers, and he said, this is huge. I said, this is what happens backstage.
Yeah, it must be daunting, because when we come in, even if it's a one-man show, for example,
yeah,
there's a lot of people behind that one person.
Absolutely, and that's the magic of theater that people don't always see. So I think it's been an eye-opening experience for him on some level, and also the idea that a play can transform you, because his work, my work, it is all, and theater, and what he does, it's all about transformation. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand that theater can be transformative. You know, this is what's been so huge for me, is in the show I play family members.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you walk in someone else's shoes that you can have real compassion for them. And, you know, playing my family has been such an eye-opener for me, and I realized that I had far more compassion for everybody else in the world except my family. And as a therapist, mm-hmm. that was really incongruent for me. And that was because of all the pain and anger I had left over from childhood for my family. You know, one of the things that was asked of me in the question and answer period in Whitehorse was, you know, how has this play changed you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, well, I spent my whole life trying to change my family, and I kept pointing my finger at them, why they were wrong, what was wrong with them, why they were crazy. And I realized that the problem lay in myself. And the other big piece was, I, as a child, I didn't have the comprehension, not even until I was an adult, to realize that what I thought was crazy was, in fact, PTSD. My family had come from a war-torn country
mm-hmm.
with occupation, and all those symptoms that were playing out in my family were actually post-traumatic stress on a continuum. So the play really allowed me to get inside them and understand their coping mechanisms in a different way, and not take it personally and not label it crazy.
So that is stepping in their shoes, or how much of that do you think is understanding them is from, say, getting older and getting away from that time a little further, say?
Well, getting older may help, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we grow up emotionally.
Mm.
And I think the plays helped me grow up emotionally in a different way. Working with Galber has, working in the play has, understanding what my parents really had lived through. That was huge for me. But maturing, getting older, doesn't necessarily mean maturing emotionally, because maturing emotionally also means being with very difficult and uncomfortable feelings, which most people flee from. People don't want to be with those uncomfortable feelings, so staying with them and staying inside them has been really valuable, and Gabor's helped with that.
So then when you have to relive it every night,
mm-hmm.
Well, what does that do for the feelings that you might have, whether the resentment or regret? I mean, there's obviously great learning that goes on your part,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of it all, mm-hmm. I mean, is it still painful having to go through it again?
Yeah, you know, it's yes and no. I mean, I do great preparation for it. I have a, you know, very big yoga practice before each rehearsal, a vocal practice. I'm aware some days that, you know, I'll say to my husband, you know, I'm having a deep day here today. I'm feeling some sadness, so please excuse me if there's any way that I speak to you. If all of a sudden I snap for a moment, please just be aware. Don't take it personally. I haven't quite processed through something. So we have sort of these, you know, I guess you could call them safe words, saying, I didn't mean to speak to you that way. Something was still going on. So I'll just take quiet time, you know, things like make sure I get to bed on time, those make sure I'm eating a certain way. I mean, it's a massive preparation for a show. And, you know, sometimes I will touch in during the day and just be aware of a deep level sadness. And instead of sort of recoiling from it, I'll just notice that I'm present with it.
Uh-huh.
Because it is actually the show, interestingly enough, and this was not planned, the show opens on the anniversary of my father's death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the show is also running during the anniversary of the Hungarian Revolution, the day we buried him. So definitely it's an extraordinary homage to, you know, my family and so many people, and to me, so many people that are going through experiences of war and trauma, and then they're immigrants, and then they come here, and everything's supposed to be better, and then they just unravel. You know, I'm curious to see, you know, what's going to happen to so many Syrians. Yes, they ate it. Countries are taking them in, and then many that don't, and even those that do, there's a long integration period.
Yeah, I was going to ask about sort of the lessons for today that
mm-hmm.
one could glean from the show, and you've already touched on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is something that, I mean, we just because we read about it in the news doesn't mean we think about it or
That's
think
right.
about what happens tomorrow, mm-hmm. 10 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially the two articles that have really moved me recently is one by Ian Brown in the Globe and Mail, The Holocaust's Long Reach,
mm-hmm.
the title, Trauma is Passed On to Survivors' Children.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all the work with First Nations right now, the trauma passed down through parents who were in residential schools, you know, how the, you know, the DNA is now expressing differently.
Yeah.
And genetic memory. I mean, it affects all of us, really, on some level, right? Some more than others.
Yeah. We all know of children that you know, who are resilient. You know, they're also intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things carry on, don't they? And that's something that in reading about you and reading about the show, that's something that you explore.
Absolutely. In the show, I mean, it's an interesting, our show has really changed from the description, and we had a really difficult thing to face is that we'd already given the Kulch and Banff the show description, the one that you had actually read at the beginning, and I didn't want to stop you and say, well, the show's different.
Mm-hmm.
It is different in that we are focusing now more solely on my experience and Gabor's poetic counterpart. Many people do know his story in his books, but we realized we needed to focus on one story rather than several.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's something that he is willing to share and explore in the talkback, but it seemed more effective to concentrate on one story. And in it, it's really this idea that, yes, we have sometimes very difficult stories, and those stories need to get out, and it's been very important for the Truth and Reconciliation for First Nations people to be talking about their stories. And then there comes a time that we realize we have a huge charge on this story. And diffusing that charge, that pain and the fear and the anger and the grief, diffusing that charge frees us then from the story. It still exists. It's there. But this story, in this incarnation of the show, you see the drama and you see my character wrapped up in the drama, in the blame and the anger, and then finally she starts to come back to herself. Because what happens in trauma for so many people, there's a disconnect from spirit, disconnect from essence, from our authentic selves, kind of a protective mechanism. Mm. And so often, you know, when people are in deep addiction, what they're really looking for is that deep comfort, that sense of self. For a minute, it brings them back to themselves, so they think. But in trauma, for so many people, there's that disconnect from that profound feeling of self. So now the way we've got the show is that very slowly the character starts to see her own drama on the stage, and slowly she starts coming back to herself. Because as we come back to ourselves, then we can start seeing the other person for who they are and not the behavior, not the coping mechanism.
And then the music that I described, is that still in there?
Bebe Gabor is there.
Yeah.
Richard Strauss is there. Alice Cooper is there. Neil Young is not there this time.
Ah.
But, and that would we had to lose some scenes for other scenes. We also now have Pussy Riot, which is very current. We also have a Hungarian protest song. Bebe Gabor is very, very important to this show. In fact, we've added some extra Bebe songs.
Yeah.
But Bebe was someone that had a big influence on my brother, and my brother introduced me to Bebe Gabor. And we identified with him because, you know, he was Hungarian, he fled Hungary when he was 8 years old. He subsequently ended up committing suicide. I've spoken to his brother, I've spoken to his former wife. And he was such a powerful and intelligent, deeply intelligent musician. And like so many people, there's that sense when you come to a country that you feel like an outsider. And that sometimes doesn't stop. It's this kind of historical story fiction that people make up. And sometimes it's very real for people because, as we know, immigrants often face persecution or discrimination. So Bebe is throughout this show. He comes up musically. He comes up in reference to the brother and my character interacting with what he meant to us.
Yeah.
And then the loss we experienced when Bebe took his life. So many scenes come up through different characters. Many of the different characters body different things. And of course, Gabor is the voice in the background that keeps gently suggesting a new possibility, a new awareness, that the character finally sits down with Gabor on stage for a on-stage real facilitation in the middle of the play.
Did you remember when it was when you first encountered Gabor Mate and his work?
Absolutely. I absolutely remember. I picked up the Globe and Mail. He was writing a medical column.
Yeah.
And he wrote an article about the connection between the immune system, the endocrine system, and the nervous system, and its relationship to breast cancer. So it really had this amazing connection between the mind-body connection to illness. And I saw his last name, and I said, my God, this guy's a Hungarian. I have to meet him. I have this compulsive urge to meet another Hungarian, I think, because it's such a small country.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to know, I really wanted to know, does he have the same trauma that I do? I wanted to talk to him about it. I may not have been born in Hungary, but I sure felt the impact of everything my parents went through. So eventually what happened was about 10 years later, someone said to me, why don't you just email him? I said, email him? It never even occurred to me because, you know, I thought he's a famous guy. He would never email me back. And she said, oh, yeah, he's very approachable. I emailed him. I thought, perfect. So I emailed him in Hungarian, and he wrote back, and he was so gracious and warm and really touched by my Hungarian email. And then somehow we just slowly started connecting, and every so often I would write him an email because I was having a conversation in my head with him. And I sort of observations that I was making in my practice or about things. And one day it just occurred to me after I did Damages Done. It was an essay originally that I'd performed in Iceland in a writer's residency. It occurred to me that I mentioned Gabor in this essay called The Damages Done. Why not have him on stage with me? And that's when I had this moment inside me of, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, I can. Why not? He'll only say no if he doesn't want to do it. But he was very intrigued, and I was so excited that he was intrigued. And we've grown a lot. I mean, we've gone through so much together, too, and all of us as a team. It definitely stirs things up for everybody.
Yeah, it must be something to get to work with someone like him, because, I mean, even if you you haven't, we've all read his books, and especially in the realm of Hungry Ghosts. I mean, everybody's...
Yeah, brilliant book.
Yeah, everybody's read that, it seems.
Yeah.
We've all seen him on YouTube and on television and the sort. I mean, to get the chance to work with him must be just... I mean, you must wonder how this all happens sometimes.
Well, you know, I feel really grateful. I feel incredibly grateful because there have been a lot of triggers that have come up as we've worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so admirable about Gábor, and what I love about Gábor, is he is the first person to admit when he's in a trigger and the effect of that.
Mm.
And I learned from him, and I'm learning from him, how to quickly have the humility to say, okay, I can see the impact of my behavior right now, and I'm going to own this, and instead of defending against that. And he's really great at that. He's a real example for that.
Well, this is a show that just sounds so fascinating, and I'm sure there are a lot of people in this town who are looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Break a leg, as I say, or am I not supposed to say that to a dancer?
Well, no, to a dancer you say merde.
Merde.
You know, the French word. And so I guess to actors you say break a leg. So I'll do all of that. How about?
Thanks for this, Rita. It's nice to talk to you.
A pleasure to talk to you, too.
The website for more, RitaBose.com. The website for tickets, tickets.theculch.com. The show is called The Damage Is Done. It runs the 20th to the 24th. At the Culch, Rita Bose joined me on the line from Calgary in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.